This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain. I wasn't here last week because Dr. J made college come true for me.
Yay!
Yeah. But that,
I love it.
That beautiful voice of that lovely lady you hear is the very Dr. J, the superintendent of Tucson International Academy, the author of the book, Making College Come True, 10 Keys to Success, a former Tucson Unified School District educator. So this lady's a teacher on top of everything else.
Yes.
And then also still the newest talk radio show host in the city of Tucson.
I think so.
Yeah. Even though I'm gonna try to change that real soon because I'm going to try to make another show.
Oh, yeah. Is that a fact?
I am.
We'll have to see if it's with someone named Rubina. I don't know.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah, we still have to connect, but yeah, she has it in the stars. She's a superstar that's just waiting for that superstar thing to come along for her to do it.
Yeah, so, you're right. I'm excited for her.
If I get to be part of that shine, that'd be great. You're already her mom, so
you yeah. Well, poor thing. Poor thing.
No, I doubt it. But yeah, even though I do say regularly that you remind me of my mom, and I have my own hang up, so I'm sure you guys have your thing too.
Of course. Every relationship. Yeah.
But yeah, we have one of our
favorite guests. Yep.
Back here in studio with us in Jeanette. Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Hello. Yay, Jeanette. Jeanette Cannon. She's an educator for like 30 some years, I think. And definitely worked with TIA for, what's the real count? How many years is this for you? 16 of the 20 years that we've been open. Mm-hmm. So she's been foundational in helping us create our programs and projects, which is sort of a topic today that we're hoping to cover. Mm-hmm. Is talk about how college influences and gives you confidence to do these like bigger projects. Mm-hmm. It just kind of evolves, you know, because of all the experiences you have, and you find out after college that college gave you more than just the academic know-how. It gave you like situations where you were problem solving at a high, high level. Mm. And you can bring that to the workforce. And mm-hmm. that's what Ms. Cannon does for us. She brings this higher level problem solving and just actually some fun to our organization.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. And I guess kind of just to start off the conversation of like how college gave you the confidence or gave you the know-how, gave you the wherewithal to do projects. How do you think that's applied to your life, Jeanette?
Well, I would just always love school and college. I always loved studying, and you know, other kids would ask me to help them study for tests and stuff, and I would tutor them. And
nice.
So yeah. I just always loved being a student and learning and mm-hmm. presenting.
And what about, like, maybe even in your early years after college, what are some projects that you took on that you may have not even had the confidence or courage to do otherwise?
Well, with the TIA helping start the Title I program and the EL programs, those have been huge in a kind of ongoing and evolving process. And
mm-hmm. Explain those to us a little more.
Well, way back in the beginning, helping Dr. J, you know, write the policies and whatnot. I hadn't mm-hmm. done that before, so that was a new experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the government side of education is a whole nother animal, but you sort of understand it after you have some experience, and she brought with her, like, I don't know, 9 or 10 years of experience before she came.
Mm-hmm. And then when I worked with DODIA, we went through the NCA accreditation, and I was head of the protocol committee, so I had to help organize, you know, the people who came in and who's bringing what, and that kind of the PR type organizer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big, huge project. And really, really, really well.
Getting certified is like a huge mm-hmm. undertaking for many large districts. I mean, certification process refines all of your systems and your procedures. And mm-hmm. With charter schools, you kind of have gone through that already because you don't get approved to have a contract with the state of Arizona if you don't have approved systems. So it's kind of like they do it up front with charter schools, but districts, you know, they're long standing. They've been alive for 100 years, you know, and so you have to constantly refine. And I think that the certification process that districts go through is very helpful. But it is a lot of work, but it's very, like, you got a lot out of it, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And a lot of our systems we have at TIA kind of reflect on that type of system that we've incorporated. I mean, we've incorporated lots of different systems within TIA that I've helped be a part of.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. And I guess I definitely, this is gonna be fun. I extend that same question to you, Dr. J. What have been some projects that you've taken on, particularly, you know, right out of college, or, you know, in, you know, master's program or in that time period, that maybe you wouldn't ever if you hadn't have gained the skills or the knowledge that you did in college?
Yeah, well, okay, so one of them is more like a life skill, but the college gave me the confidence to go ahead and initiate. But one thing that I know TIA would not have had is sports, because charter schools are not district schools and we're a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. So to create a basketball team, it's like you got to get every eligible student to say yes, they want to play competitively. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of physical discipline that you have to be in a sport. Mm-hmm. And so sports, I was just in them in a high school myself. Mm. Actually, from fifth grade, I was allowed to be on the basketball team that they had for fifth and sixth graders. Mm-hmm. Seventh and eighth, I was in volleyball and basketball, and I enjoyed it. Ninth through 12th, I played tennis, I played volleyball, I was in on the track team. Nice. I did basketball. I loved sports. I was never that good. Occasionally, like maybe one or two years out of all those years, I was a starter. But that's after years of being on a team and being, you know, having extra practice. I was never like outstanding. I won a few awards, but not that many compared to my buddies that were on the team. So when I got to college, we just joined all the people from my hometown. We were kind of lonely at college, so this one gal had the vision to invite us to be a part of the volleyball intramural. And so we got to see our friends from our hometown once a week for practice, and then once a week for the game. And so twice a week we were getting together with familiar people, and it really helped with our socialization. And also I just saw how intramural is different than competitive. It was still competitive, but it was a different level. I don't know how to exactly explain it. So having that experience in college then led me to when I owned my own schools, and I noticed, I was like, man, charter schools don't have sports programs. And right then, other charters must have been noticing it too. So somebody started a league. And so I tried to join that league. But guess what? None of the teachers had ever played any of the games. They didn't even know how to play basketball. I'm like, are you kidding me? How could you go through school and not play sports? Because it's such a big part of my life. And I think everyone where I'm from was on some sport, because the parents had this philosophy, my kid is going to go do something so that they can learn teamwork. And it was just a value in our community. So almost everybody was in a sport. And if you weren't any good at playing, you got to keep stats. So, I mean, everybody did a sport. In our charter school community, nobody had done a sport, not even the teachers that were teaching for me. So I was like, are you kidding me? So that's one big project, starting a sports program with people that have never played sports.
Wow.
And we had a lot of clubs too. So I ran a Girl Scout troop for a while.
Yeah. Wow. Well, awesome. Oh, cool. Well, we'll talk about all that and more after this break. This is a Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John here with Dr. J. We'll be back.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good radio show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
And welcome back to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with Dr. J.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
And as a fun fact that I was just thinking as we're coming in, and I need to do it more, and I'm sure you actually break the average. You know, children laugh 450 times a day, and your average adult only lasts 15.
Yeah, I think I make up for those
adults.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, I know. That's why I love being around you, just because you help me get my numbers up in regards to the laughing. Yeah, me and Andreas were talking about it earlier. It's like, that is important, because the lack of, you know, taking things too serious and being too regimented and being too pragmatic is the killer of creativity.
It really
is. We all need creativity in our life in some capacity. Even if you're an accountant, you need a creativity in your life. So laugh more, people. That's advice from Pastor John.
I like that advice.
Well, during the break, we were talking about some cool stuff. Definitely something that, you know, I look forward to hearing all about and sharing all the cool stuff that you can do in college. Mm-hmm. Outside of just the college and having a bigger brain. And I'm not talking about the keggers and that stuff. That's, I guess that exists too.
Yeah.
But you were telling us a cool little story about very, you know, unlikely position you found yourself in college and a cool role you got to fill because of it.
Yeah. When I was a sophomore in college, my sister-in-law decided to come up, and at the same university I was doing my bachelor's, she decided to come up to that same college and live there and get her master's done. Because if you live there and you take more hours, you can get it done in about a year versus 2 years. So it was a big savings, and she was willing to do it. And I think her husband was traveling with the armed forces at the time. So it kind of worked out, and my niece was with her, and my niece was 6 years old, and she was going to the public school, and she wanted to join Brownies, and she was excited. She was going, oh, guess what? I get to be in Brownies. I can't wait. Then I go, how's Brownies? And she goes, oh, they canceled. They didn't have a troop leader. I was like, oh, and she was so bummed, you know, and I go, well, what would it take for me to be, you know, a volunteer leader? And so I asked, and since I was studying to be a teacher, I thought that could be something really good for my resume, that I was a Brownie leader. And I had these 6 year olds that I then taught and led for 1 year, and I was a Brownie leader.
Nice.
In the Girl Scout organization. And Scouts is so comprehensive. It's very project driven. So like, we got to do a basic baking badge, and you do six lessons basically. And if the kids participate in six of the six lessons, they get the badge. And the badge gets sewn onto their sash as part of their accomplishments, you know, that they wear on their uniform. And so, you know, so it was simple things like, you know, safety with the stove. It's hot. You know, you got to use pot holders. You have to wash your hands before you touch food, you know, simple things like that. And it was good. I mean, she was 6 years old, and she was learning things that maybe I didn't know till I was 10. And it was just one of those things where I saw the value in the program. And I also had the experience with the kids, because you're working with after school, and it's a very detailed project-driven curriculum, and I loved it. I thrived. Kids thrived. My niece got to have a Brownies, and I got the experience. And I got the. And I also was part of something outside of the university. Mm-hmm. But they wanted me because they knew I was part of the university. So the scouting organization wanted to connect with college students. Mm-hmm. And so the cool thing is I did it for a year and I talked about it a lot. And so the next year I didn't do it because, you know, I had already had that experience and I wanted to have some other experiences. And when I stopped being a scouting leader, some of the people I had talked to inquired and they took that same troop over. So I guess for 15 years after I was gone from college, somebody took that same Brownie Scout troop from the university for 15 years.
Nice.
And that's like crazy. That doesn't happen awesome. Mm-hmm. So it was a way for the university to connect with the community and the community to connect with the university. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was an excellent program. And Miss Cannon did that for Tucson International Academy. Mm. She started a scouting troop right there. You want to tell a little bit about it?
Yeah, I started a scouting troop with little kids and it just grew, and I have the same little girls for several years doing the scouting troop. We had a lot of fun, a lot of projects. We went bowling, things like that. So,
did you grow up as a Girl Scout?
I did, yes.
Me too.
I was a Brownie and a Girl Scout.
Okay. How many years did you guys do it for?
I did it all the way up to the top rank of Girl Scouting, but everybody in my community did that. What about you?
Through sixth grade, first grade through sixth grade.
Interesting. I think I did Cub Scouts for a year when I was a kid, but I had parents that were military intelligence officers, so I went through basic training for 18 years living in their household.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, it's interesting, as you're saying that, Dr. J, and when you're going through college and you had that experience, did that kind of give you a sense of, okay, I do want to, you know, follow this path that I'm on and work with kids and all this? And kind of, did it give you kind of like a taste of what to expect once you did become an educator?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest information I learned from it was parent expectations. Mm-hmm. And the parents I had were really nice, very complimentary. But by what they complimented me on, I knew to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And they never criticized me. And I had such a positive parent relationship with my troop kids' parents that, I mean, it just made me want to do it forever. I mean, it was really good. I would have done it the very next year, but I had taken on more obligations through another organization on campus. So, but I mean, what a positive thing. So parent, if you're going to be a teacher, you do have to learn how to relate to the parents.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And what about you, Jeanette, or Miss Cannon, or Jeanette Cannon? what are some of some extracurricular stuff that you did when you went to college that kind of really made an impression on you?
In college was band. I was really busy with band.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Marching band, concert band.
What was that experience like?
Oh, it was great. I mean, you learn musicianship, cooperation, teamwork, competitiveness.
Was it difficult doing all the classwork, getting good grades, and then also having to juggle that as well?
Not as long as you organize yourself and, you know, make sure you have a timeline of and prioritize what needs to be done when. It's definitely doable, and it's definitely a big part of the college experience too.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because right before we started, me and Dr. J were just talking about just in my experience going back to college now, how it's just like 99% of success and failure in school and outside of school is time management.
Right.
I would agree. That is so true. Yeah, I mean, I hate to admit that it's true, because we just want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We also want to do what we feel like, you know, when you feel tired, you don't want to jump right on that thing you know you need to do. But if you do discipline yourself, what rewards are there for you? I mean, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you just set yourself up with some routines and some consistency, and you get big benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's like, whether, I mean, to re-review 2021, whether it was, you know, the books or the new projects that we came out with, that was time management, you know, and particularly, you know, I got Andreas's book here, Morning Rituals. As soon as I changed my morning ritual, and every morning I woke up and I went on a walk and meditated and prayed and read and wrote, my life changed. You know, and not saying my life was bad before that. You know, I did all right. I helped people, but then once you really structure things and get it tuned in, man, the way you see the world open up for you is mind-blowing.
It is, because you're so capable, and you don't understand the momentum you're creating in your life when you do some regimentation. I don't think you should do all regimentation. That's no fun. But if you have basic things set up, oh my gosh, they'll serve you forever. You can do then the fun stuff so much more free because you've already taken care of the things you have to do because you have a regimen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, we're gonna talk more about college, I'm guessing, after this break. This is the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by the Tucson International Academy, 4 different campuses around Tucson. So go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today to register your kid and make college come true for them.
Yes.
Are you considering going back to college? Do you know someone who is? Then Making College Come True is the book for you. This in-depth book, authored by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, local educator and superintendent of Tucson International Academy, takes what may seem to be a difficult task and gives a simple rundown on how to make college come true for yourself or a loved one. Get your copy of Making College Come True on Amazon or at TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
Hello, welcome back. I hope you guys went potty, got some snacks. I hope you feel good. This is the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with Dr. Jennifer Herrera. I can say that really
you're,
well
you're
now.
Doing
I'm taking
good.
Spanish.
Look yeah, at
taking,
you. Yeah. Oh, Espanol. Yeah.
Espanol.
Que bueno.
Yo tengo un clase de Espanol, sí.
Enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, enough to not get lost in Mexico, and that's about it. but yeah, we also have Miss Jeanette Cannon. She is the English language aficionado de yes. Tucson International Academy.
Cierto.
And she's here in studio with us to talk about, you guessed it, college. And before we went into the break, we were talking about my observation, which, you know, this is definitely something I'm seeing now and get going back to school, is how, not only how important time management is, but it's about maybe one of the most important things that you can consider. And that's not only for college, but just your life in general. If you want to reach a goal, look at your time management skills first and then move on to the next, move on to that. So, but definitely something I wanted to ask Dr. J, who's like a doctor of this information, and we have Jeanette Cannon, who's also very smart herself. What are some tips that you guys have for someone either going into college or someone that's, you know, newly in college, on how they can ensure that they're successful and make it to the end?
Yeah, if you're going to go into college, there's certain disciplines. You know, we were talking about what you have regimented in your personal life serves you or doesn't serve you later in life. So never think of your like elementary days, your middle school, high school days as, oh, I was just a kid. No, you are actually, what do you call it, building the foundational framework for how you will function for the rest of your life. So my parents were like dogmatic about getting us everywhere on time. And at the time, I used to fight with them like, oh, right, I'm ready. You know, I would be a difficult maybe child because I didn't like transitions. You know, if you have a little attention deficit disorder, you don't like to disengage and then reengage. And I didn't realize why that was, but that is still an issue for me. I mean, it's hard for me to stop one thing thing to go do another. Mm. Because I really like what I'm doing. I like to focus so intensely and I don't want to stop. Mm-hmm. But you have to stop. So think of gaming. I mean, who wants to stop gaming? Getting your kid out the door if they're gaming before school mm-hmm. is probably a nightmare.
Yeah.
So don't let them game. You know, I mean, it's just things like that, putting a discipline in place. So time management is really discipline, disciplining yourself, and then maybe you have to work out rewards and consequences for yourself. You know, it's just like when you eat too much, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, but you haven't followed your regimen, you know, then maybe you have to suffer a couple of days of a much more strict diet to get back on track. I mean, we've all probably done that before. As kids, getting to school on time is a huge issue. I cannot tell you how many kids are late. And it's not usually the kids' fault. It's the parents. So parents, what I would say to you is if you are taking your child places late because you worked a night shift or whatever excuse you've allowed, I would encourage you kindly, from my heart, I say, I know it's hard and I know what you parents go through, but it is really harming your child to build these kinds of patterns into their life where they're late all the time. It makes them uncomfortable. The teacher's upset. They've now missed things. They've disrupted class. And when you go to college, we had professors who would close the door. And if you weren't inside, it was locked and they would not open it for you. You were locked out for the entire hour or 2 hours, depending on how long your class was. And for me at first, I thought that was so evil. But after a while, I understood it. And I was so glad that the professors did not put up with that, because in high school, you know, of course, we saw all kinds of lateness and things. As a child, I saw it, and I see it now today in my own high schools. Parents and kids have a hard time getting where they need to be on time. I personally have a hard time getting to where
sometimes
I need to be.
I didn't want
to
say it, but
it's true. Yeah. It really is, and it's something I always have to stay on top of. You know, I have to motivate myself, and when I'm not getting somewhere, I have to say, well, is it an issue subconsciously that I don't want to be there? Usually it's not. It's usually just I'm overly committed to something I don't like, and so I have to let things go so that I can make room for the things I want. And I think that's like the life lesson of college. You have all this opportunity. You can do all kinds of fun stuff. You can be on the volleyball team. You can be in a sorority or fraternity. You can be part of the student government. You can do things in your hall, you know, the dormitory. There's all kinds of things to be a part of, and they're all fun, but you cannot do them all. So you learn real quick, oh my God, I'm not getting anything done. Now I'm getting an F in my chemistry class. I better do something about that. You have to let some things go. You have to prioritize. Prioritization, having 20 years of working with administrators in our schools, prioritization is not a skill America does well. That's what I can say. And I have to constantly help them prioritize what's more important. And, you know, I mean, payroll's kind of important, you know, so thank God I have a person with payroll who's awesome and understands that. Imagine if we didn't. Oh, sorry, your check is going to be late because we didn't prioritize it. There's just, you have to prioritize, and you have to do that even for yourself personally.
Nice. And what about you, Ms. Tatum? What's some tips you have for the eager listeners out there?
Calendaring, definitely. That helps a lot. Mark everything. I have to for myself. Mark, and now it's electronic, so mark everything on a calendar. Have alerts. I mean, we have all the technology we do today I didn't have in college. There was no cell phone. I'm dating myself, but that's really important, you know, schedule it. And, of course, the professors, when I went to college, you know, you had the whole semester outline in your syllabus. So,
Follow it, right? Read it and
every
follow
day
it.
And say, okay, I know this is coming, so I better prepare for that, study for that.
Yes. That's extremely important. I mean, if you can read and you can see the schedule, and the professors are bound to those schedules, so they're not usually going to change that, then there's just no excuse. Like, you saw it coming. You knew it. Why did you not? So it's the same in school, you know. I know in our high school we have syllabi. I don't know how closely they're followed, you know, and I think that that's something that serves everybody, is if you do create a schedule and then stick to it.
And plan ahead, definitely. I'm a big plan ahead person. So
yeah, I know that's definitely in my life, that's what makes the biggest deal. Like, if you were to look at my Google Calendar, it's like, as soon as I wake up until I go to bed, I have it filled in. And at the first thing in the morning, that's wake up, go on a walk, brush my teeth. You know, it's that regimented. And then, you know, throughout the day, I make sure everything. And I even, you know, I make time for watch TV.
go on, you know, hang free time. So, you know, it's not when you calendar and when you get regimented, it doesn't have to be unfun. You can plan to have fun.
Right.
You know,
that's the best kind of plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's that's certainly super cool that kind of that you mentioned that, because that is for me, that's where it's at. Like, if I didn't, and I know a lot of people that, you know, in the past, that I've dated or either friends that I had that I've tried to integrate that in their life. I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of Google Calendar? It's really easy. You can look at it on your phone. And, you know, I've even tried to, like, you know, my 14-year-old son, I try to incentivize him using his Google Calendar so he can plan things. But yeah, it's all excellent tips. And we'll talk about, we got one more segment for you guys. So you guys hang in there. We'll be back right after this break. We've got Jeanette Cannon here. She's the English language aficionado, and I'm Pastor John McClain with Dr. J.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show, or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. We have the most entertaining, excellent segment for you, so I hope you're ready. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Dr. Jennifer Herrera, and I'm guessing future Dr. Jeanette Cannon. I don't know.
She sure could be, believe me.
Being around Dr. J, you never know. She'll definitely convince you to go back to college. She'll convince you to work at TIA.
Yes.
And I'm guessing in there she tries to convince you to get a PhD as well. But
every
I don't know.
Now
we'll
and
see.
Then, you know. We'll see. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I'm seeing it at home right now.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah. It definitely seems like it's very stress inducing.
Yes, it can be. And you better like your subject.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, we haven't give Jeanette as much playtime as we would have liked, but definitely we want to circle on what you do. I mean, you certainly do something super super special. Both my parents are Spanish linguists in the military, so seeing, you know, other people kind of spread their wings, step out into other languages, and not only did you step out in other languages, but you kind of made, like, you know, you found your specialization within it and were able to do a lot of cool things because of it. Why don't you tell us about some of those things you've been able to do because you chose that specialization?
Yeah, well, now with, you know, our global online world, there's all kinds of teaching online platforms. And for 3.5 years, I taught Chinese students in China with VIP Kid.
Hmm.
But that was shut down. They no longer allow foreign teachers, but there's other platforms, and VIP Kids still alive. They're expanding to other countries, but it's really a lot of fun. They give you these wonderful Chinese students, and I I had a lot of regular students that I taught for a long time. So,
mm-hmm. And you really taught sad. Them English, right? So yeah, the whole premise English. Was to teach them English. And right. I don't know if our listeners realize, but a lot of other countries have like after school classes for mm-hmm. teaching English. Mm. I know in Japan, it's common to have a 2-hour English class after you've already been at school for 6 hours. Mm. And every kid like is kind of like they want to go because they want to learn English. Mm. So English has a role that it plays in our world, and a lot of countries want it. Mm-hmm. China, I mean, what a
cool
thing.
And the Chinese students, they all have English at school already, too. Mm-hmm. So that's very important.
What was that? What's that process like teaching online. Chinese children English online? Like, what does that look like?
Well, kids of all different ages. I even had 4-year-olds through, you know, teenagers, mm-hmm. all different levels. The little ones who didn't know any English. It was a lot of fun. Just have a lot of puppets. And, and they give you the lesson plan, so it makes it really pretty easy. Mm-hmm. A lot of visuals, and they have it so you can draw on screen and engage with the student that way. And a lot of the older ones, they're already very pretty proficient with English, so you can have pretty in-depth conversations mm-hmm. with them. So mm-hmm. I enjoyed the older ones, too.
Nice. Yeah. Much. Well, it's interesting. The reason I asked that, because it's just the idea of an American teacher teaching English to Chinese students in China is like, it's not normal, but it reminds me of what I'm going through right now with my Spanish teacher, who's actually from Korea, and she's pretty much, she speaks Korean very comfortably. And even when she does her notes on the big board, it comes out in Korean and then translate wow. to Korean. And University of Arizona has a policy where the Spanish professors or the language professors have to speak to you 90% to 100% in that language. So when we came into class, I've gone to probably 10 of these Spanish classes so far, but the first one I went to, I had no idea what she was saying. And I thought, in a way, I thought she was speaking Korean to me because I didn't understand what she was saying. And, you know, it took me, there was certainly some learning, you know, some bumps in learning, kind of getting used to her speaking only Spanish to me and kind of maneuvering around that. Were there challenges like that you saw, particularly working with the younger kids and only speaking English and not speaking Mandarin, not speaking Chinese?
Well, the little ones who didn't know any English, that you just have a real basic routine, like, what do you see? I see. And you have the PowerPoint slides, and you just engage them and point out the colors and different things. And it's very, very interactive as well. So the kid on their end, you know, they can point and click and draw. So you engage with them and direct them that way. So that's a lot of fun.
Nice, nice. And mm-hmm. and I guess, what are some of the other, you know, I guess, opportunities or cool things that you've been able to do because you picked this specialization?
Well, now they're not off the ground yet, but since VIP Kid is kind of in limbo right now, I have joined a couple of, it's really pretty amazing. There's tons of all these platforms of teaching online. Mm. It's pretty amazing. And VIP got thousands of teachers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's pretty huge. So I have more platforms that I need to work on getting those off the ground.
Nice.
They each have their own techniques, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
like there's
different
all kinds
systems.
Of, yeah, mm-hmm. the system that they use. So like at U of A, for example, you said mm-hmm. they have, you know, 90% has to be spoken in the target mm-hmm. language, which you have it from a person who's a second language mm-hmm. speaker of that. Mm-hmm. So you're having kind of like this interesting experience. You know, you're looking and they look Korean and, mm-hmm. you know, they speak Korean and you see their Korean notes that translate to Spanish or English. But then they're teaching you Spanish. So that's mm-hmm. a whole cool, like, it's an overwhelm at first, but then after a while you get it. You're like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, the world, people are multilingual. Mm-hmm. Americans aren't so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, that was the biggest thing that was just like hard for me to process because even though I have parents that are Spanish linguists and, you know, I'm surrounded by all different kind of peoples and languages, being in that environment and, like you're saying, having a Korean first language Korean person teach me Spanish, which is their second language, and English is also their second language. So like in a lot of ways, when she communicates with me in Spanish,
it sounded a lot more fluid than when she spoke to me in English. And there's sometimes, even when she did speak to me in English, I really didn't understand what she was saying any more than I did when she was using the more sophisticated language in Spanish. So it was, yeah, it was cool. And now that I'm at a point where I get it, it's just like, okay, yeah, I'm a college student. This is how they do it around here. Yeah.
And where else would you have learned that? I mean, now when you see a Korean person, you don't think, oh, they speak Korean. Mm-hmm. You probably think, I wonder what all languages they speak. Mm-hmm. It opened your mind to seeing people maybe more for who they really are, mm-hmm. not the stereotype. Oh, yeah. Korean? They speak Korean. Mm-hmm. No, they speak Korean. They speak English. And what else do they speak? They may speak up to six languages or more. Mm-hmm. You never know. And so I love that about college. That's what college does for you. It gives you extra experiences that you could not have planned, really, like that. I love that. I mean, I had a Spanish teacher too in college, and they were Hispanic, so it was a different, you know, but I valued it. It was so awesome to hear somebody who is from that culture speaking the language. So I mean, just so many experiences you can have.
Yeah, another cool thing I like about college, and just in the vein of Spanish, like I took a Spanish class many moons ago. I'm not going to date myself, but when I first started taking a Spanish class in college, I had a Spanish lady from Argentina. So as she was teaching us Spanish, it was in a lot of ways a different type of Spanish, you know, different forming. And in high school, I was taught by a Mexican guy, you know, so it was a different, so it's kind of cool about how, like, with every new class, you get just this extra level of flavor in learning this stuff and just becoming a more developed person, well-rounded person, as they say.
Exactly. I want to tell you a quick story. TIA kids, high schoolers, go, and they usually, we try to have them take their entrance exam to Pima. So they can see where they're at, you know, academically. And also having that experience of taking a test on campus at Pima. Now you can do it remotely because after COVID, everything's remote. But it was very powerful to be physically there. And they were like, I'm in a college. Oh, my God, I'm taking a test at a college. It was just a mind blower. And while they were in there, they would go into the testing center. And I asked this one guy, I go, how'd it go today for your test? When he got back, he goes, well, let me tell you, it was an experience. And I go, well, tell me, what was your experience? He goes, well, first when I got there, I heard like these other people talking, and it wasn't Spanish and it wasn't English. And that was weird, just knowing there were people from other places in there. And that was weirding him out because he had not been around that. Then he goes, then I sat down and the guy next to me, I think, was from India, and he smelled different, like spices or something. And he goes, the whole time I was taking my test, I was like, what's that smell? It's him. You know, and he goes, and it wasn't a bad smell, it was just a different smell. And he said, so that like was a distraction during my test. And he said, and then I went to talk to somebody, and it was a lady, and she was the one that was going to help me fix my computer because it froze. And he goes, and I called her over, and she had she was Arabic, and she had her whole hair and her mouth covered. So I wasn't sure where to look. Now of course, after COVID, we can all know where to look, but he was having that experience for the first time, and he said all these different people, sounds, smells, looks. He said it was just mind blowing, and he liked it. He was so excited. He goes, man, the world is a big place.
Yeah, I'd like to think most people, when they're exposed to that stuff, they like it.
They love it.
Yeah, I want to think most of our prejudice and our discriminations just our lack of knowledge. We just don't know. We just don't have any experience with it. But then once we see it, we're like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's how y'all talk and dance, and this is how y'all walk and stuff. Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
You see how much alike you are, but there are differences. And the cool thing is you can actually go have those experiences if you want to travel and things. And when they travel, they're going to be a lot more adjusted because they had these little prior experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we got about 30 more seconds to kind of kick it around, and definitely, I guess, kind of tell us about I guess your favorite thing you've got to do being the, you know, EL director with Tucson International Academy.
Well, I really like working with the students and seeing their progress, and kids who they've been taking this yearly state test and they finally test out. So
that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's a big hoorah for those kids.
I can imagine. And just your part in that, it's almost like you're like a little mini victory for you because you were there, I mean, stressing out with them.
Just, you know, getting to know the students and working with them and their interests and having them write and read about what it's meaningful to them.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for coming in with us.
Yeah. This was a good one.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to talk
Thanks
about all this.
Me.
Yeah. Well, this is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Dr. Jennifer Herrera. We'll catch you next week.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you would like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.